my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. For benefit of the tape, the title of what I want to share today is called To See Jesus. Amen. I was listening to a praise CD a few weeks back, and there were two songs that stayed with me, you know. And one was called Give Us Clean Hands, and the other, and that was the theme of that. And the theme of it was Seeking God's Face, and that was called Open the Eyes of My Heart. And I thought about that, you know, I thought about seeing Jesus. And I thought, do I really want to see Jesus? No, and I ask you that question as well. Do you really want to see Jesus? Yeah. And first of all, I'm reading from Isaiah, which is one of my favourite books, and then from Revelation, which I have to say was not one of my favourite books. But I'm it's growing on me, I'm growing into it, one or two. So I'm going to start off Isaiah 6. One to eight, and this is Isaiah's vision. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. I just can't put it into words how awesome, how amazing that sight must have been, you know, the Lord on his throne, Lord of hosts on his throne, and all that, with the angels, seraphims and everything. And then it's even more amazing to me, Isaiah's reply, you know, Woe is me, I am ruined. But, you know, I thought, well, I could imagine that, because I think my response would be the very same thing, Woe is me, especially my lips are unclean, when I think about how easy we get into criticism and everything. But, you know, Isaiah's lips were touched by the holy fire. And that fire made his lips holy. Because Isaiah is known as the evangelical prophet, he gives the fullest and the clearest picture of the gospel of Christ in the Old Testament. I mean, he lived and spoke the message of the Holy One of Israel. Over and over, Isaiah tells them the words of the Holy One. And I just love the book of Isaiah. You know, God used his clean lips in a marvelous way, and he's still using them. And I think about Isaiah 12, verse 2, it says, "For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." You know, what a wonderful theme for a song. Amen. And I'm going to go now to Revelation 1. And this is John's vision. Starting at verse 12. "And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to his feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been coarse to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Write therefore the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.'" And there again, you know what, an absolutely awe-inspired picture that paints. It's no wonder John fell as a dead man at his feet. And I'm sure that would have been my response. And it was awe and fear that made John fall at Jesus' feet. And Derek Prince says, that picture is a picture of judgment. And, you know, in that picture, Jesus is described as our righteous judge. But as I've been reading through Revelation, I can't count the times I've read the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. And, you know, how many times Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. And that's why Jesus said to John, "Don't be afraid." He more or less said, "I've sorted it all out. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. I've got the keys and I'm in control," you know. And he laid his hand, his right hand upon John, his hand of mercy. That's what he laid on John. And he comforted him and strengthened him. And John was strengthened and revived. And he did write down all he saw and heard. And he wrote down this absolutely amazing book of Revelation. And, you know, in these two accounts, we can see how absolutely awesome it is to see Jesus. But we can also see the amazing effects it had on these two men's lives. And I'm going to Revelation 15, verse 4. "Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts of being revealed. And this is where I'm going, really, the reverent fear of a holy God. And Isaiah prophesied of Jesus. He said, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. That's Isaiah 11:3. And if that's Jesus' delight, it should be our delight, the fear of the Lord. And we are told that no one will see the Lord without holiness, which is perfected by the fear of the Lord. And I thought, you know, what is the fear of the Lord? And this is the fear of the Lord. It's respecting him, giving the place of glory, honor, reverence, thanksgiving, praise, and preeminence to him. And I'm just going to read from this book. It's called Pathway to God. It's one of those books that just falls into your hands when you need it. When every word that you read, you think, oh, that's for me, that's for me. This book has been a wonderful blessing to me, and it's by John Bevere. I don't know whether anybody knows him. And it's called The Pathway to His Presence. And this is what he has to say about the fear of the Lord. And this passage is called An Ever-Deepening Reverence. And it starts off by reading 1 Peter 1:15 to 17. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father, to whom you pray, has no favorites when he judges. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. And this is what he writes about it. Peter walked with Jesus and witnessed this judgment. Later, he wrote the words on the previous page with inspiration and heartfelt admonishment. Notice that he does not say, live in love. Yes, we are to live in love, for without it we have nothing, and apart from his love we cannot even know the Father's heart. Earlier in this very epistle, Peter comments on the love that should burn in our hearts for the Lord, saying, you love him even though you have never seen him. We are called to have a personal love relationship with our Father. But Peter is quick to add the balance, the fear of God. Our love for God is limited by a lack of holy fear. Our hearts are to shine with the light and warmth of both flames. Paul did not walk with Jesus on earth, but met him on the road to Damascus. He exhorted believers as follows, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In fact, this phrase, fear and trembling, is used 3 times in the New Testament to describe the proper relationship between a believer and Christ. We must remember both of these unchangeable attributes. God is love, and God is a consuming fire. Because of God's love, we can have confidence when we approach him. The Bible adds that we must come before him in an acceptable manner. How? With reverence and godly fear. In one of the services during a week of meetings in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, I trembled at God's holy presence. That day I sensed the presence of the Lord fill the building in several different waves, and numerous people laughed as his joy flowed, for this must have gone on for about 10 to 15 minutes. After this I heard the Lord say, I am coming in one last wave, but it will be different from the others. I kept silent and waited. Within a minute, a very different manifestation of God's presence permeated the building. It was awesome and almost frightening, yet I was drawn to it. The atmosphere was charged. The people who had been laughing only a moment earlier began to weep, wail, and cry. Some even cried as though they were on fire. However, these were not the tormented screams of demonic activity. As I paced the platform, I thought, John, don't make one wrong move or say one wrong word. If you do, you're a dead man. I'm not certain that would have happened, but this relays the intensity I felt. Later I thought of Ananias and Sapphira. I knew irreverence could not exist in that awesome presence. We left the meeting shrouded in awe of God's presence. One man who was mightily touched by his presence said to me afterwards, I feel so clean inside. I agreed, for I felt purged as well. Later I found this scripture, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In the pathway to his presence, we must fear God. Amen. Well, I'll read that, you can put it a lot better than me. Wonderful, isn't it, that? David, the mighty man of God, I mean, he was a king, he was a poet, he was a psalmist, but he knew about the fear of God. He loved his holy God, and he loved his holy God. And if we read Psalm 51, verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And Psalm 24, I'm just going to read a few verses from that. Psalm 24, and I'm going to read 3 to 6. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, even Jacob. Amen. To seek his face. You know, and I mean, even if we think about it in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus himself said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So let's go back to Revelation 15 again. This time I'm going to read 2 to 4. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had come off victorious from the beast and from his image and from the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses and the bondservant of God. And they sang the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvellous are thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for for thy righteous acts have been revealed. Amen. I started off by mentioning, you know, those two songs that had touched me. And here again in these verses we have two songs. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And the song of Moses is the song of the law. And the song of Jesus is the song of redemption, forgiveness, healing. The song of salvation. And like Isaiah, we need to say, the Lord God is my song. You know, Isaiah had his touch of fire, and we, the redeemed, have the fire of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to go to Acts now. Acts 2. I can find it. My hands are like blocks of ice. I can't. Right. Acts 2, and I'm going to read 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. You know, Isaiah needed his touch of fire, and we need the touch of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we need to sing in the Holy Spirit, and we need to sing that song of salvation. And once again, it's going back to Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. Amen. What marvellous things he has done. Amen. So, I go back to the question I asked myself at the beginning. Do I really want to see Jesus? And I ask you that as well. Do you really want to see Jesus? You know, are we really prepared to seek him with all our heart? And are we willing to live in the fear of the Lord? And are we willing to be touched by the fire of the Holy Spirit? And are we willing to be in his presence in that awesome place? You know, because I'm speaking for myself, we really need that to be able to seek his face and to be able to see his face. Amen. So I'm going back to Revelation. I told you it was growing on me, this book. Back to Revelation, to 19. And I'm going to read 11 to 16. And this is a picture of our Lord of hosts, our mighty conqueror. Right. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war, and his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite all the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh man, that gets more and more awesome and awesome in my thinking. But you know, oh that we might see him, you know, oh that our desire might be to see him, to see him as our great Redeemer, the Lamb of God, to see him as the Lord of hosts who fights against all our enemies, you know, to see him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to sing that song, the song of salvation, to be able to say, the Lord God has become my song, he has become my salvation. Amen. Thank you.